Sunday school hour.
Amen.
Amen. It's been a late night, but a good night. It's a blessing trying to serve the Lord. And if the Lord's giving you something to do, you ought to be happy while you're doing it, when you're doing it, when you're not doing it. Right? As a Christian, you ought to be happy no matter what, really.
Amen.
If you're not happy, then you know what? That's one of the joys of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's something that's lacking in a Christian's life if you don't have any kind of joy. I'm not saying to walk around cloud nine and be one of these goofy Christians that's slobbering themselves, I love you all over the place. I'm just saying you ought to have some joy in your life as a Christian.
Amen.
Amen. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. And Lord willing, I'll finish it up or get really, really close. Pastors, give me another week. I appreciate that. There's a lot of stuff in Romans 8. And Romans 8 is a blessing. We're going to hit some really good stuff here in a couple minutes here. Let's pick it up down in let's go to verse 24. Excuse me. It's good to see you, brother missionary. I don't know if you remember me or not. PBI, I know you were there. When did you graduate? So, yeah, we were out of there, what, 08, I think it was? So, yeah, it's a blessing to see you. Amen. Amen. It takes a while sometimes for the Lord to make the man and get him going. Man, that's a blessing to see out there. I appreciate that. Amen. Let's look at our King James Bible this morning. Verse 24 of Romans chapter 8, it says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to turn to a whole lot of places, but that reminds me in my Christian mind, thinking about the Bible, of Hebrews chapter 11. Hope and faith are kind of like the same thing, aren't they? They're pretty close. And you know what? We'll turn there anyway. Hebrews chapter 11. Turn your Bibles if you would. Talking about hope and talking about faith. And as I was preparing for this morning, I had that verse pop into my mind. I'm trying to remember where it's at, but it says, "Hope deferred maketh what? The heart sick," right? Isn't that what it says? And that's what happens. And that's what we see all the time out in the streets. You see, as we deal with folks all the time, and they have hope, and they have hope, and they have hope. But you know what happens? It's deferred, and then they're sick. And you know what I told? And I told someone last night, I said, you know the devil's biggest tool is discouragement? Yeah, I'll amen myself. Amen.
Yeah.
You know what the devil wants to do? It wants to get you in a black hole, even as a Christian. And how many of you can testify this? Why? I see the hands. Praise the Lord. I see the hands. How come a Christian, even a Christian or a lost person, gets into a spot where they have all the tools necessary to get out, but yet they want to stay in this hole and just simmer and turn in? Why is that? That's because it's the flesh. Because your flesh wants to kill you. And we talked about that earlier. Let me turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I could probably quote it, but let me go ahead and turn it. I'm pretty excited this morning. It's a blessing. It's a good morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen." It's like blind faith almost. You can't see it, you can't taste it, you can't feel it, but it's there. And when you exercise your faith, you know what happens? Your faith grows.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen, that's right. You know how you get stronger as you lift, and you turn back to Romans 8. As you get stronger, you lift weights, you can lift more weight. So you know what happens when you take a little step of faith? You take a bigger step next time. And then another step. You know what happens after that? You become a missionary, or you do whatever God's called you to do. But don't tell me this brother hasn't taken little steps of faith along the way, because I'm going to tell you right now, I know he has.
Yeah.
And he's about to take a really big step of faith, aren't you?
Yeah.
And it's scary. I don't care how big or how tough you are. It's scary. But you know what? We're going to see in a minute that nothing's going to separate you from the love of Christ. We are more than conquerors through him. He gives you all the tools and all the things that are necessary to succeed as a Christian. Why don't we succeed? It's our fault, ain't it? It's not God's fault. It's your fault. You know why you're a failure? If you're a failure, it's your fault. It's not God's fault.
Amen.
And I'm not beating you up. I'm trying to tell you that the God that we serve gives you all the tools necessary to lift you up from the guttermost to the uttermost.
Amen.
And I'm talking about everyone in here has been in their own gutter at some time in their life.
Yeah.
Amen. Right?
Amen.
I know I'm speaking the truth. Are we all just tired in here? What do we got going on in here? Amen. All right, good. All right, here we go. So back to Romans 8:25. But if we hope that for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Turn to Titus chapter 2, that hope again. And if you know your Bibles at all, you know exactly what I'm about to say, right? Who can tell me what I'm about to say? When you think about hope, what's the first thing that you should be thinking of? The blessed hope, right? Amen. I was in the bathroom this morning, and we have weird conversations in the bathroom, Brother Mike and I mean, it's just the way it works out, you know. And I'm usually taking care of my kid or doing something, and we start talking about the Lord. And I said, I told him this morning, I said, everything's going great this morning. I said, my wife's okay, my kids are okay, you know, my fridge has food, the truck's got, you know, gas, I have a job still. I said, the only thing to make this day any better is Alex's phone not to go off. No, is
love you, brother. It's the Lord to come back, right?
Hey, it's okay. Whether I'm having a bad day or a good day, I'm ready. Take me out of here. I'm ready. And you know what? It's going to happen sooner than later. And you know what's one way or the other, either by death or by clouds, you're getting out of here. So you know what you ought to do? You got to live for him. That's what you ought to do. Look what it says. That's the truth. You ought to live for him. You ought to actually get out of your comfort zone and, you know, and do a little something for him. And you know what he'll do? He'll give you some joy. Amen. Amen. Let me find where I'm trying to go here. Amen. Huh? 2:13, right? Amen. Bible says, Titus 2:13, it says, looking for that what? Blessed hope. There's that number 13. That's a good one, right? We've been taught in Bible school. 85% of the time, it's a bad number. Well, here, I'll take the 15 right here. Guess what? It says this. It says, looking for that blessed hope. That's what a Christian ought to be doing. If you're looking for Jesus Christ, if you're in your Bible, you're trying to minister to people, you know what? You're not wallowing in your own sorrows. That's right. You want to help somebody else out? You want to help yourself out? Help somebody else out. You know what you often find out? That they're in a whole lot worse situation than you're in. And you know, you being able to help, God can use you to help somebody. What a blessing that is. But you're going to have to go against some things to help somebody. We always have this good saying at work. It's no good deed goes unpunished. Yeah. Every time you try to fix something, something else breaks or something else happens or whatever. Amen. So you're going to get it in the neck. You might as well just put it out anyway, for Jesus, that is. Amen. Look what it says in Titus. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great Muhammad. Great God and our Savior. They're one, by the way. John chapter 10, verse 30. I and the Father are what? One. Yeah. One. Amen. It says this, and our Savior. If you're saved, he's your Savior. If you're not saved, he's not your Savior. He's going to be your judge. Yep. Matter of fact, he's going to be your enemy. And you know what the gospel is? The blessed hope is Jesus is coming back, and I preach this on the street all the time. And guess what? I hope you're on the right side. Because on one side of Calvary, you got God's wrath. On the other side of Calvary, you got God's love. And everybody's always talking love, 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 love. You want love, God? Do you want love from God? It's through Calvary's cross, through Jesus Christ. If you're not in that love, then you're in his wrath. That's plain and simple, okay? Yes, God does love you. He has given you some opportunity to repent. You know, and I talk to folks on the street, and say, well, if God's this and God's that, how come? I said, you're alive, aren't you? You're still breathing. You know what? Then you still have a chance. That's called God's mercy on you right now. That's why. Yeah, I know bad things happen to people, but let me tell you something. If you're still alive right now, you not only have a chance to get saved, but you have a chance to have joy in your life and to serve him and to please him with your life. That's called the mercy of God. That's why God is long-suffering, all right? That's why God allows a big old space in your life when you're lost. He allows all this junk to happen to you all the way up to this one moment before you get saved. And then you get saved, and you know what happens is the whole other part of that life is wiped away. God doesn't even see it. It's not even there. I'm not saying you don't have to bear the marks in your body or in your mind, but your mind's not saved, is it? No, the Bible says what? We went over this before. The carnal mind is an enmity against God, right? It's not subject to the laws, neither can it be. All right? So just get, you know what you have, the mind you should have? Is let this mind be in you, which is what? Christ Jesus. Amen. Back to Romans 26. And we with patience, 25. Wait for it. You don't have to turn here, but in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, let us run with what? Patience. That's your race. So you have to be patient as a Christian. As a missionary preparing for the field, you have to be patient. As a young preacher preparing for the ministry, you have to be patient. As an older saint doing whatever you're doing, you have to be patient. As my children are learning to be young women, they have to be patient. You can't rush God. And that's what happens is we rush God. We want to do this, and we fall. We want to do that, and then we fall. I want this, I want that, I want this, I want that. It takes time. I know, and Dr. Ruckman used to teach us and preacher and his problems and all that stuff. It takes 20 years to make a man. I think Brother Donovan says 40. I don't know, but it takes time. That's my point. It takes time. You got to let God work in you, right? That's what the Bible tells us Christians is you need to let God work in you. Put off the old man. Put on the new. Okay, renew your mind. Get in the book. Minister, help, serve, do what's right. And you know what happens? Time. There's a really weird verse. I don't have time right now to go there, but it's about David. And it's really a weird verse to me, and it talks about the times went over David. You know what? God had to make David the man he was before he can use him to do what he was doing. Does that make sense? Yeah. It takes patience. But I love how it says you're supposed to run with patience. You're not supposed to just sit on the pew and do nothing.
You're supposed to go forward and run with patience. How do you run with patience? How do you do that? Think about a racer trying to get that. Be patient, be patient. What do you mean be patient? I can't explain that. But I know this. Moving forward is your only option. There's no retreat in the Christian life. Amen. You do not have an option to retreat in your Christian life. You know, you've been given orders. You're supposed to run with patience. Don't get ahead of God. You're supposed to keep yourself clean. When you get dirty, fix yourself up with the Bible and other Christians and move forward. And you know what happened? You start looking for that blessed hope, Paul says. Yeah. Likewise, verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also what? Helpeth. We can stop right there and dance around and shout and say, thank you, Lord. Because we're dumb, stupid, fleshly animals. And you know what happens? In our ignorance, right, in our times of ignorance, God winked at, right? Yeah. But now he commendeth men everywhere to what? Repent. So once you get right with God, God knows you're ignorant. God knows you're stupid, like a dumb sheep. He says that in his word, by the way. It's not me trying to pick on you this morning. I'm trying to help you. God knows we're dumb. That's why when we pray, we're going to see the rest of this verse. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, whether it's physical, mental, whatever, what have you. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. You have Jesus Christ, the advocate of the Father, the Son of God, God himself manifested in the flesh, the Savior of the world. He's your advocate. He's not your advocate. He's your advocate, right? The Holy Spirit of God is also your advocate. So, and we're going to see in a few moments, it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Yeah. I'm going to tell you who's against you in a second. It's the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's exactly who's against you. Amen. You're your own worst enemies in here this morning. Do you realize that? You know what stops a Christian in his race? You, the Christian, does. The number you trip before you even get out of the finish, the starting race, right? That's what a Christian does. But here it says in the Bible, for we know not what we should pray. Have you ever gone down and prayed and just like a groaning in your spirit? You're not really sure. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's somebody else. Who knows? That's happened like 4 or 5 times in my life. Like really weird, almost an eerie feeling of death, this weird stuff. And there's been times where I've gotten down and said, Lord, I don't know what's going on. Lord, I have no idea. I know the Bible says the Spirit is making intercession for us, Lord. I don't even know what to say, Lord, but I'm trying. Lord, please help. Whoever needs help, show me what I need to do. That's what that verse is saying right there. Sometimes, that's why prayer is so important. You got to pray sometimes when you don't feel like it, especially when your little Christian sensors go up and something's off or something's wrong. You need to start praying right away. We went this Saturday, we went to a place, took the kids somewhere. It was supposed to be fun. It was a good time, but something was a little bit off, something a little bit weird about it. And my wife noticed it. I noticed it and started praying right away. You know what that is? That's the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, the Bible says. Verse 27, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the what? Spirit. Capital S, Spirit. Not only that, because what? He, who's he? The Spirit. The Spirit of God is masculine. The Spirit of God is the third member of the Trinity. The word we use for that is Bible. There's Godhead, right? 3 times in the Bible. Romans, Acts, and I think it's Colossians. Godhead, right? Because he making the intercession for the what?
Saints.
Amen. Look ye saints. How's that song go? That song's awesome. I love that song. Glorious. That's like militant. Look ye saints. If you're saved in here, you're a saint. You don't have to go to Mary, to Muhammad. It's not St. Joseph. It's not St. Paul. You don't pray to these weird idolatrous statues. You're a saint in here. And you're supposed to be peculiar. And by looking around in this room, there are some peculiar dudes and women in here. Let me tell you something. There's some funny-looking people in here. I'm being honest with you. I'm probably one of them. But she says, yes. My wife does. Bless her soul, huh? 12 years, I guess she knows, right? Amen. But that Spirit. For the saints... back up to that in the middle of verse 27, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We're going to get into some rough stuff here in a moment, but according to the will of God. The will of God is not always a bed of roses for your life. You know that, don't you? It might be God's will for you to get cancer. So, it might be. There's many of saints better than everyone in here that's died from cancer. And the whole way through, praising God and writing letters and being a testimony, and that is their baptism of suffering for that saint. I'm a wimp. I hope and pray that doesn't come from me. I don't want that. I'll be the first one to stand on the street and yell out about Muhammad, but I don't want to get shot or get my head taken off. I don't want that. The Bible says you're supposed to be willing to do that for Jesus Christ. Yeah. And I went over that before. It says the will of God. Now, brother, if your Lord's called you to be a missionary and you're in the will of God, I know you got peace about it, you got joy about it, thank God for that.
Blessed is the man who finds the will of God for his life and what? Does it. There's your race. Move forward and do something. You know, frustrated ambition kills a Christian, especially one that's called to preach. Not every Christian's called to preach. It doesn't make this Christian better than this one. It means we all have different gifts in the body of Christ, as it says in the Bible.
Yeah.
We're all called to do different things. Maybe it's a nursing home ministry. Maybe it's a street preaching ministry. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. Maybe it's a pastor. Maybe it's not. But you know what happens? If God puts a calling and really puts a burden and a burning in your soul to preach his word, if you don't do something, you're going to get stagnant, and you're going to sit on a pew, and you're going to start to stink.
Yeah.
I'm trying to help you this morning. I'm not trying to be nasty or belligerent. I'm trying to help you. Because like I said, the devil wants to discourage you. And you know what happens? You ought to pray, like it says in verse 27, and just give that thing up to the Lord. Say, Lord, I know I'm called to preach. I am frustrated, Lord. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. Lord, just help me, God. Help me, God. You know what he'll do? Start opening doors. And even when the Lord opens up doors in your life, man, it is a blessing. And it says that no man will shut it. It says that. Amen. Look what it says. The will of God, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good. I'll stop right there. They do. Parkinson's disease, death, I lost my child, this one gets hit by a car, a bus runs over my, that's working together for good? Yeah, according to the Bible, it sure is. According to the Word of God, yes. It says this, who are the called according to his purpose. Again, it's not about you, it's about him, Jesus Christ. And God forbid I lose one of my daughters, I'm not saying I'll have the strength to do anything. But you know what I would want to do as a preacher, as a young man, is I'd want to have the courage to give God the glory no matter what he allows in my life. And he may allow me to be an example to some of you. And I hope that God, he doesn't. But if he does, I want to be an example of what a Christian man's supposed to be. I'm not special. You ought to have the same desire. You ought to have the same exact desire. And the problem with Christendom today is the men. That's the issue. The problem is we don't have men that stands up from the Bible and moves forward. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying you don't mess up. If the women would see the men do what they're supposed to do, they'd follow instead of trying to lead themselves.
Yep.
Enough
Amen.
About that. That's Amen. Another sermon for another day. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Sorry, John Calvin, it's not predestination. Lord just doesn't take this batch of apples and say, you're going with me and leave this other one. That's not how it works. Everyone is predestined in Christ who gets saved. It says, in hope, God cannot lie, right? Before the foundation of the world, when Jesus Christ was there and he says, let us make man in our image, God speaking, all that stuff was in the foundation of the world. When you get in Christ, you get in all the way back there. That's predestination. You know what you do? I used to draw this little thing. The Lord gave this to me years ago. I draw a little chart, and I put a set of brackets, and I write time in the middle of it. Then I draw a big old eyeball on top of that time. Is you know what, that sea of glass is absolute zero. I think it's negative 450 degrees. We've never gotten to that as a scientist on Earth. Never will, by the way. But they've gotten close. You know what happens? It's a vacuum. There's no time. You know what the Bible says? That the throne, there's a sea of glass there. You know what that means? There's no time there. God is outside of time, and he sees time as it happens. That's like predestination. You get in, but you're in way back there because of what Jesus Christ did. So that's what it is. And you know what predestination does? People that believe in that, like this one's elect and this one's saved and this one's not, it makes you a lazy Christian because I don't have to go out and soul win because God saves who he wants to save. And that's, no, God gives you the free choice. That God's not a God of making robots like your little Acme Roadrunner things when you were a kid watching that stuff, stomping out little robots. God's looking for your heart, number one. God's looking for your motive and your action, number two. And what happens is God, you know how you bring pleasure to God, to Jesus Christ, with your life willingly, what? Putting your flesh down, becoming an example, and patiently moving forward. That's what the Bible tells us. Amen. Verse 29, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ, that is, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also he called. And whom he called, them also he justified. I love these words, justified. And whom he justified, them also he glorified. That's you if you're saved, by the way. You're just. You say, I'm just? The dirty thoughts that I have? Yep, you're just. I told somebody last night in the street, I said, you know what happens when you get saved? From that point on, Jesus Christ walks in front of you and he goes like this, I'll take the bullet for you. I'm here. Jesus Christ is now your advocate with the Father. And that's a blessing. A lost person doesn't have that. A lost person doesn't have the hope. doesn't have the blessed hope. You know, a lost person has things like AA and all this stuff. I'm not knocking us. I'm just saying that the God of the Bible is not in that stuff. You know what the God of the Bible does? It puts you in your place and shows you where you belong, and it gives you, like I said earlier, all the tools to get out. And I appreciate that. And that's what Bible preaching is supposed to do. It's supposed to give you those necessary tools to fight your flesh, right? Why am I thinking this junk I'm thinking? I'll tell you why, and then I'll give you scripture. That's what the Bible does for you.
Amen.
If you don't read your Bible, you don't get nowhere. You're just spinning your wheels, and you get frustrated. And then you leave the church, and this one said this, and this one said that, and I don't like this, and I don't like his tie, and he wears shorts. Next thing you know, everybody's all split up and splintered out. When the truth is, you're at fault because you got frustrated and ambition. I don't give a rat's rip if you wear shorts or not, hopefully to below your knee. But listen, if you're not moving forward and doing something for Jesus Christ, you're going to get frustrated, and you're going to stink.
Yeah.
Not only that, look what the Bible says, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? Here we go. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Amen. That's a good verse.
Yes, sir.
I'm with you, Pastor. That's a great verse. But you know, sometimes it's misapplied, and Christians think they can just go run out ahead of God and do whatever the world they want to do. I'm going to tell you right now who's against you. And I said it a minute ago, the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's the question. I'll answer it. I'll tell you who's against you. You're against you. The devil's against you. The devil's not your friend.
Right.
The devil wants to keep you in that gutter. The devil wants you to get mad at brother or sister so-and-so. That's what the devil wants. Because if he can get your mind off of the things of heaven, then you're no effect for Jesus Christ
that's
as a Christian.
Right.
Who can be against us? The world, the flesh, and the devil. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, that's Jesus Christ, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Amen. There you go. I want $1 million. How about you freely give it to me, Lord? That's a verse. I give you the verse right there. I should be a millionaire. How come I'm not a millionaire? It says he freely gives us all things. I got the answer for that. A couple verses ago, it said what? According to what? The will of God. You know what I said this a long time ago? If you play lottery in here, just give me the dollar instead because I can use it. I'll give it to somebody else. Because if the Lord wanted you to be a millionaire, you would have been born a millionaire. Plain and simple, okay? The Christians miss the will of God for their life.
That's right.
Do you realize that?
Amen.
How many times does a Christian get messed up in things because they miss the will? You know what's really heartbreaking to me, and I want to punch someone in the head, I'm just being honest with you, is when they get in the will of God, and they got all the gifts, they got all the money, they got the ministry, they got it all, and then they fall out because of immorality.
Right.
And I'm like, what in the world?
Yeah.
I'll never be like this guy, but he had it all.
Yeah, that's right.
Lord says, Joe, why don't you just run your race? Just run your race, I'll handle him.
Yeah.
So let me just say this. It's not the big ministry. It's not the big building. It's not the, oh, look at this guy, and I'm following this guy. Whoa, look at the. No, it's between you and the Lord. And if you're doing what God wants you to do, you don't have to worry about any of that other stuff.
Because
it doesn't matter. I tell you what, I've gotten some compliments from some people on the street. I had a guy, his name is Paul. He's laying in the gutter right now. I gave him some food last night. My wife cooked. And he stunk, and he was horrible. And I woke him up out of a dead sleep to give him a bag of food. I said, Paul. He said, I'm trying to sleep. I said, Paul, it's Joe. And I gave him that stuff. You know, a couple weeks ago, he gave me a chocolate bunny. I don't know where this guy got this thing from. He gave me a chocolate bunny. And he says, here, they call me pastor. They call me the angry pastor. That's just because of street preaching stuff. He says, here, Pat, I want you to have this. If you have any kids, give it to them. I'll take that over $1 million. Well, you know what that is? Because he knows that we care about him.
Amen.
When you can win the respect in the hearts of a man that's been in the street for 10 years living in the gutter, because he knows something. You know a con. You can see a con. And he knows that you care about. You know, what is that? What is that, Brother Joe? That's just running with patience, what God has given me to do. That's all that is. Amen. Look what the Bible says. Verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I think I'm double microphone or something. Excuse me. It is God that justifies. There you go. Don't judge me. They always say that. Don't judge me. You know what I say? Quit judging me. Why are you judging me for judging you? I ain't judging you. And they always shut up on that one. They're like, what did he just say? What am I doing here? What are you messing me up here, John? All right? It's just hitting. Bring it down. Bring it up. Leave it alone. Keep preaching. Okay. All right. All right. Back to the Bible. It says, verse 34, who is he that condemneth? Well, if you're not saved, you're condemned already. I'll answer that question for you.
Yep.
You must be born again. If you're not saved, you're already God's enemy. You're already on his list, okay? That's why you need to get saved again. Is it that Christ died? Yea, rather, that is risen again. Why? Because in a couple verses ago, it said that's how you're justified and glorified, by his resurrection. If Jesus Christ never resurrected, then you're sunk.
Right.
You're done. Amen. You might as well just hang it up. Jesus Christ is the risen Savior. By the power of God and what he did for you, that's how you can live. Yeah. That's how you have the power. That's how you have the hope.
Amen. Yeah.
In him.
Yeah.
That's how you move and have your being, because he resurrected for you. That's the power of God. When you get a hold of that thing, there's power in that thing. That's God's power.
Yeah.
And he's going to do that for you. He's got that in store for you. Wow.
Amen.
So in light of all that, are you doing anything for him? God's already given you all the greatest gifts in the world, and you just sit there and do nothing.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm trying to motivate you to good works here this morning. That's what I'm trying to do. Amen. Look what the Bible says. Where was I at? Verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It's Jesus Christ. He's the judge and the advocate, right? He's the one. And this is another verse I always say, that there's coming a day when God shall judge the secrets of men. By what? Not by Buddha, not by Muhammad, not by the Pope, not by your mother, but by Jesus Christ, by Christ Jesus. He judges your secret sins. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows what, and you know what they do? They start cringing.
That's right.
We had a guy a couple weeks ago preaching just like that for a while. Brother Eric preached. Somebody else preached. His name was Michael. I call him Ghost. The guy just disappears. And he came across the street, and he bowed his head and got saved.
Amen.
What is that? That's not wavering. That's preaching the truth. Okay, did he mean it? Yeah, he sure did. Is he still out messing around? He probably still is. But at that moment in time, he meant it. He received Jesus Christ. And then what happens at that point, I don't know. But we've done our job. Pray for him.
Amen.
Amen. It says this in verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Amen. The devil tries. It can't be done is what we're going to see here in a couple moments. It cannot be done. You cannot be separated from the love of Christ, but sometimes it may feel like it.
Right.
You hear me? Yeah. Hear me today? You say, how can God love me when he took my kid? I can't explain that, but I know he does. I know he does.
Yeah.
It's a result of sin. Either your sin or somebody else's. It's way back when. You know why people die? Because of sin. The Bible says the wage of sin is what?
Yeah.
Again, loud. The wage of sin is?
Yeah.
That's what the Bible tells you. The reason people die is because of sin. It's either your sin directly, you were an idiot, or else just because of the wage of sin. A few verses ago and earlier in this chapter, it says the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together until now. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is going to fix this mess that you're in.
Right.
But you know what he'll do it spiritually for you now? Right. Spiritually, Jesus Christ will fix you now.
Yeah.
He'll take you as you are. You come to him the way you are, he'll fix it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, he will.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he will. Amen. Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
He did it for me, and he'll do it for you.
Amen.
But what do you think about my children sometimes? They get mad, and I love them and care about them, and they go like this. That's what a Christian does, like a baby. You know, God gives you everything. He touches your heart. You even shed a tear. But then he'll ask you to do something or say something. You'll go like this. I'm not doing it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The Bible says this. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine? I'm going to tell you, brother, if the Lord tarries, we may see some of that. And I'm not saying we're going through the tribulation. I don't believe that stuff. I do believe persecution has already been in the past, okay? And it can come again.
Right.
All right? Persecution, as a matter of fact, there should be a mild tempest of persecution in your life already. If you're not getting it from somebody, from speaking up to Jesus Christ, then you're not doing your job.
Amen.
It's that simple. If you don't get flipped off at least once a week for trying to give the gospel out, then you ain't doing your job. I'm just being honest. You know, the Spirit itself bears witness. Remember that verse a couple times ago? We had it last night. It happened twice. This one goes by, blank you, I hope you die. And then this one comes by, hey, praise the Lord, glory to God. What is that? What is that? Is that, what's the word? What's the word where you've got two split personalities?
Bipolar.
It's like, what is this? That's Jesus Christ. That's what that is. That's a saved person trying to encourage us because they know how hard it is sometimes being a good witness when the other person's lost. Amen. It says this, or persecution or famine or nakedness or pearl, or the sword. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, biblical preaching will expound on that, and modern preaching will not. You know what that means? The average person, the average loser, like Joel Osteen and all these others, will just take that and will just skip right over and will say, God just loves you. Just smile. Buy my book. I need another elevator in my mansion, right? That's what this dirtbag will do. And I say that without apology because the guy's sending people to hell. Now, some of this stuff is pretty tough stuff, okay? You look at the Rome's Colosseum and all that stuff back when Nero was there, and I got kids here, and I'm not going to go into great detail, but you know what I'm getting at. They suffered, and they died, and were burnt, and cut up, and this, and it says, God loves these people. Really? What's going on here? The lost world, the devil will bring that to a remind a lost person and say, yeah, that's how God treats his children, right? They have no idea. But to God, that's precious. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, precious is the death of his saints. It's not precious to my family if I die, but it's precious to the Lord because guess what? Now I'm with him. We got some people in this church that passed away the past couple years. It ain't precious to me one bit. I don't appreciate it one bit, Lord. And I told them that reverently. I love you, Lord, but I don't appreciate this one bit. I've shed lots of tears over some people that died, George and stuff. But you know what? He ain't worried about it. He's dancing up there like your dad danced down the aisle, goofy as that was. That's what he's doing, man. He's happy. As is written, verse 37, nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Wow, being burned at the stake is more than a conqueror? Yep, that's what the Bible says. And you read stories of these people going through horrible persecutions and singing of their last voice out of their lungs as they're being asphyxiated and dying. That's craziness. And I believe this. I believe if the Lord allows you to go through something like that, he'll give you the grace that's needed at that time. That's what I know the Bible says. So you're not supposed to worry about it. Verse 38, this is the famous verse. Everybody knows this verse. This is a great verse. This is one of the greatest verses in the entire Bible on eternal security. I remember one time a few years back, I like to listen to some false teaching. Not because I want to be persuaded, because I like to analyze what I believe, and it makes me stronger, okay? And some of these guys were teaching about, you know, you can lose your salvation. And I said, I know you can. And then you look at all these little things that says if here and here that, and then devil puts doubt in your mind. So I started really studying that thing out, and I'm more eternally secure now than I ever have been. You know, when I come to the conclusion on this thing, as I get back to this verse in a minute, is that I am sealed by the Holy Spirit. He's a member of the Trinity. I am sealed to the day of redemption through the Trinity, through what keeps God together is God. You'd have to split up that Trinity for me to lose my salvation. That's Ephesians chapter 2, by the way. I am in the Holy Spirit of God. I'm spiritually circumcised, Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. I am so far in, I can't get out if I tried.
That's right.
But I can live like hell if I wanted to. I can choose to do what I want. But I'm so far in Christ that I cannot get out. And think about this, brethren. If you could lose your salvation, you would. And so would I, and so would he. Just by the very thoughts in your mind within the past 24 to 6-hour period, if God were to judge you on that alone, you deserve to go to hell. And so do I. Women, child included. Amen. Happy Easter, right? It's the truth. That's how I know that I'm okay. Because the Bible tells me this mind is not part of God, it's part of the flesh. My flesh ain't saved, my soul and my spirit are. And there'll be a day where I'll be with Jesus Christ, and it says this, for I am persuaded, Paul said. Paul went through some stuff. Guy got hit in the head with a bunch of rocks, killed on the spot. He gets back up, goes back in and preaches the same spot they just killed him at. Wow. Is there something wrong with this dude? Absolutely. He got a glimpse of heaven. He says, nope, I'm going right back in. Let's do another round. Amen. Amen. He says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life. No matter what, you know, what is that life thing? No matter what happens in this life, I'm persuaded, Paul said. No matter if I die, my kids die, my dad die, no matter what happens, I know that I'm in the love of God, and nothing is going to separate me from that. That's what Paul's saying. If anybody knew that as a Christian, it was Paul and what he went through. Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Matter of fact, he had such a great grasp on this. He knew that anything that was coming in his life, no matter what it was, could not separate him from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It's at the cross, shedding his blood, and you repenting and getting inside that Calvary's love. That's where you get in at. Amen. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. And include yourself. You know what you are? You're a creature. You're peculiar. You're strange. shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a great way to end this chapter. And I'm done with this statement, which is what? In Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
That's the love of God. It's what God the Father did with Jesus Christ, how he turned his back on him. And Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God went like this. And Jesus took your sins on his back. And that's where he loves you. And if you don't get the sins off your back and put them on Jesus Christ, guess what? You're not in God's love. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the number one will for a lost person, is to get saved. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to preach your word. It's been a blessing to me, Father. I pray for the next man up that you'd give him the liberty and the spirit of God to do the same. I pray you bless each and every one that came and put an effort out to get here this morning, help them to get fed, get something to be with our pastor, and all the things said and done today. We love you. And Lord, if you come back right now, that's okay with me.
Amen.
Until then, help us run with patience and do what we're supposed to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.